Welcome to Small Town Radio, the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your freshly relocated host, Maxim, and today I'm joined by my also freshly relocated host.
Yeah, my name is Connor. Thought about it. Nice. I brought it to you. I'm bringing it today.
I'll tell you what, every time I do that and I'd say, and today I'm joined by, and there's that pause, it's like serious, like cliffhanger vibes.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Right on the cliff. What is it? Who are you? Mark Twain?
One of these episodes is just going to be me saying, today I'm joined by, and then it's 40 minutes of silence.
I doing it to me. Right on the cliff, right on the edge. But it's one of those cliffs where someone's standing on the rock below and they're really just doing it for the picture.
Yeah.
This is all for the pic.
For the what?
For the pic. P-I-C. Pic. No T.
Oh, okay.
No
yeah,
T.
Yeah.
No U. No R. No E. So where are we heading today?
I was just about to ask you because I didn't do any research. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
Today we're going to Telluride, Colorado. Have you ever been?
Telluride. You right in the middle. Wow. It really stands out there. I'm saying all that because there? I didn't do any research. Just kidding. I have my research.
That's good. Yeah, it's been for our listeners out there. This is gonna come. We're recording this 2 days before this is releasing. Like, it's been a tremendously busy week for both of us in different ways, and it's very last minute, but we're making it happen. We're making it happen.
We're Tim Gunning this. Are you familiar Tim with the great Gunning. Tim Gunn?
Oh, Tim
Make
Gunn.
Make it work.
No, I haven't heard that.
You've never heard? Wow. Pop culture. Pop culture 101. Parks and Rec. Have you seen all of Parks and Rec?
Yeah, it's just been a while.
Tim Gunn, Make it work. Yeah. Well, any updates before we jump in? Well, social media, you can find us on Instagram at ST Radio Pod. And always, as always, you can email us town suggestions to our email, which is smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. We love those suggestions. I don't abbreviate things. I got new roommates who love abbreviating everything, and I'm trying it out. It just doesn't click, you know?
Yeah, me and my roommates are more acronym people. So we just say a bunch of letters and expect the other person to know what we're talking about.
Oh, perfect, because I only have notes and acronyms today.
Ooh. Welcome to
it's gonna
short
be,
acronym radio.
S-T-R-B.
No, my job literally.
B. I'm not a big acronym guy. I'm a small acronym guy.
I like my acronyms to be three letters, not four or five. Yeah, my company. When I first started, it was really hard to figure out what was going on.
Hey, Lee.
Because, huh? What?
Hi. We have a guest.
Oh.
I just saw your door slowly open in the background.
This is what happens when you live in your girlfriend's place.
I wouldn't know. Dating's. Do you want to talk about my dating life? We can change the name of this podcast. 40 episodes in.
I think you should try a matchmaker, Connor.
Oh, yeah. I'm not at that point. I'm married to my career. Yikes. But yeah, what were you saying? What were you saying?
Oh, yeah. When I first started my job, it was tough because there's probably like 200 or 300 three-letter acronyms we use for everything. So in every meeting, I could hang on for like 2 minutes out of the 30. And then after that, I'd just be like super lost. Like, I
don't
know.
Can't hang, bro? No hanging?
Can't hang? No hanging. No cliffhanging. Cliffhanger. Hanging from a cliff. That's why he's called Cliffhanger.
That sounds like a great superhero.
Do you recognize that?
Yeah, it sounds super familiar.
It's from the PBS show Between the Lions.
Oh.
Where they have, it's like all about books, as most PBS shows are for kids. And one of the segments is just Cliffhanger. And he's hanging from a cliff, and then he does a bunch of stuff to help him climb up the cliff, and then every segment ends with him hanging from the cliff again.
That seems like it's sending a very weird message to kids.
Very Sisyphean.
Yeah.
Or Sisyphean.
Push Sisyphean the boulder. Sisyphean is the word. Push the boulder.
Yeah, daddy likes it when you push that boulder.
Keep pushing. Oh, it fell back? Oh, well, get up and try again. Isn't that a weird, it's like a weird metaphor, because that's what people say. If you stumble in life, you get up and try again. But Sisyphus teaches us that if you keep doing that, you're going to do it for eternity. Which I guess if you live forever, that's true. You don't always end up where you started.
I guess the story of Sisyphus is basically the expression, insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting different results. But I don't know if there's a moral to that tale, because it's more like he did something shitty and they were like, your life is going to suck for eternity. That's the moral of that story, I think. There's no real moral there. They're like, he does this interesting philosophical thing as punishment. That's it.
Oh, I got to brush up on my mythology. But not my small town radiology.
Ooh, small town radiology.
I'm a radio technician of small towns.
Radiology is like giving bone X-rays and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Let's we're gonna
welcome to small town radiology. Yeah, we're gonna talk about our bones today. Sorry, everyone. I'm a little tired today. We just woke up and did this. It's been a very busy week for me. I was going to sleep in today, but then a series of unfortunate events led us to recording this podcast very early on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Netflix series?
Not yet. I saw the movie with Jim Carrey forever ago.
The Netflix series is pretty decent. Pretty decent. That's my abbreviation for the show.
Can I share? I know we're a little over banter time, but can I share what happened? Why we couldn't record the podcast 3 days ago?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So me and Connor had a recording time set up, and then I had to cancel. And the reason why is because my girlfriend and I had a friend who moved out of the city and moved to Utah. And he left his mattress in his old apartment. And he told my girlfriend, he's like, you can have this mattress, you just got to come pick it up before my other roommates move out. And my one day after I returned the U-Haul after moving into this place, my girlfriend tells me, she asked me, she goes, hey, can we get a U-Haul? I was like, oh, I don't want to, no. And I didn't realize the urgency of the situation. And she ends up telling me on the recording day, hey, we need to get this mattress now because the roommate is leaving in the morning and we can't get it. So I was like, oh, fine. So in my mind, she kept telling me he lives just down the street. He lives very close, just down the street. What I thought that meant was he's two blocks away. And I was like, we can just carry the mattress. Turns out he lives a full mile away.
Oh, 20-minute walk.
Yeah, we go to get this mattress. It turns out to be a massive, like, 200-pound memory foam mattress. Like, really nice. And
damn.
It was, like, she was like, we can just throw it away, whatever. Like, we don't need it. And she's been wanting a new mattress, though. And I was like, no, we have to get this mattress. So I run next door to a hardware store, get, like, a tiny handcart dolly, like, the biggest one they have.
Yeah.
And we put it in a mattress bag. We put cardboard over the corners, and then I dragged this mattress behind me 1 full mile down Fulton Street from Nostrand Avenue to Washington. And people that were at their outdoor dining were like heckling me and stuff. Like, it was
welcome to New York.
It was such a terrible task. I was like, this is my punishment for not listening and not just getting the U-Haul. But also, I was like, at the time, I was like, I do not want to go through this process again.
I feel like if you live in New York long enough, everyone has a story where they're moving something way too big to be moved.
Yeah. Like when you see people on the subway with like a desk or something like that, or like an office chair.
I did that. Like, yeah. You know that kitchen cart in my room? I think I told you that story. In my kitchen cart thing. I got that on 86th. Like uptown New York.
In Manhattan? Oh my God.
Yeah, and it was like 95 degree day, and I needed to walk like a half a mile with that thing to get to the subway. It was nuts.
Holy shit.
But yeah.
I was going to tell her, I told her, I was like, let's just take the subway with the mattress. It's 2 stops away. And she was like, I'm not riding the subway with the mattress. I was like,
That's valid. Unless it's really wrapped up.
I mean, it was really wrapped up.
Well, I don't know. But I do know where we're going forever.
Planet Earth.
We are moving. Folks, when we talk about moving, we actually meant we are prepping to move. We are prepping to move to Telluride, Colorado. You're on board with that, right?
Yep. Have you ever been there? Did you ever get to go when you were in Colorado?
Maybe I drove through it. I don't think I stopped there.
I'm going to go ahead and say you definitely did not drive through this place.
Okay. Oh, no. Actually, yeah. Thinking about the map now, I was like, well, maybe. I drove around. No, I did not. I never went to the southwest corner of the state.
No. Yeah. So it's in southwestern Colorado in San Miguel County along the San Miguel River in the San Juan Mountains. A lot of sands in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very beautiful place, very cute town. I went when I was younger. I think I went when I was like 9 or 10, and I was a little too young to fully remember it, but it's a very, very popular destination in Colorado. Elevation is 8,750 feet.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And population is 2,479 as of 2019 estimate.
It's going up.
Going up.
It seems like one of these places that could end up getting a larger population after the dust settles from COVID. It's like a small enough town with things going on. People could consider it.
I believe it's pretty expensive though.
Oh.
It's like another Aspen. Like, it's a super nice place.
Oh.
Highly desirable.
So the young professionals getting their second home.
Yeah,
that's how much money.
Yep, that's me. I'm a young professional, and I own a brownstone in New York and a cabin in Telluride. Yep, that's me.
Mm-hmm. You got the history for us? I got some of the new stuff, the new
age. Yeah, I'll do the history. So Telluride is originally a like gold mining settlement, but as with most places in Colorado, gold was actually not that plentiful. There was actually more silver. The first gold mining claim was made in the mountains above Telluride in 1875, and that's when the area was originally settled. The town itself was founded in 1878 as Columbia, but due to confusion with the California town of the same name, it was renamed Telluride in 1887.
And I just want to throw in here, it wasn't just renamed by anyone. The post office came in and was like, whoa, 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 we can't have this anymore. This is not a thing. We're taking over the naming issue, and we are done with Columbia.
Well, it's funny because it was because of confusion with a town in California, but I'm like, there's got to be way more places named Columbia. But I'm wondering if they like got it wrong, like reading back in the day, because it's like Colorado's CO and then California's CA. So maybe they were just getting mixed up with the state.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. So the Telluride minerals were never like, they were kind of gold, like something you find in gold, I believe.
A telluride is like a gold compound.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But those, so it was named Columbia. This place was named Columbia. And then they said no, and they named it Telluride. But there was never any Telluride in the area.
Yep. Yeah, I guess Telluride was like, there was a lot of these Telluride minerals in other places in Colorado.
Just not but here.
Not here. So once again, this is one of those funny things, like Colorado history, mining history is full of this, where it's like, there's gold everywhere. Oh, there's no gold anywhere. It's all silver. But these are here, right? And it's like, no, it's not. And it's just all this like speculation about what minerals you're actually going to find. I don't know.
Prospecting. Tough job. Sometimes your prospect is good. Sometimes it's not. You got to wait a few years, at least in the NBA, to see how they develop.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know why they call it Prospect Park and they get mad at me for mining out the hillsides there. Man's got to make a living in Brooklyn.
So they changed the name, then what happened? Well, in your notes, not necessarily the next day, you know. They're like, well, we changed the name. Let's go party.
Pretty much. Oh, pretty much. I have a big gap in the history here because there was a lot going on with this place.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
Do you have a history note you want to throw in before I do a full fact here?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was it kind of falls back onto naming. So Telluride was a fairly successful mining town for a while. And I don't know if this is, I don't want to step on your fact here. Does your fact include trains in any way?
No.
Oh, so this place was one of the few, the brave, the train destinations ended up coming through here. And
score.
Yeah, it was so, the economy because of it did fairly well. But there was something that happened in 1893. Let me just read this. So the cheaper, consistent transportation, the train, as some may call it, for passengers and freight allowed miners and goods to flow into San Miguel, which is the San Miguel town, which is, you know, part of the county, and ore to flow to the mills and foundries elsewhere. This brought a brief but unprecedented boom to Telluride before, and this is where it gets good, before the Panic of 1893. What a
the
name.
The Panic of 1893?
The Panic of 1893. Any guesses at what that is?
I'm guessing that was the end of the silver boom in Colorado when the prices crashed.
Actually, it was a serious economic depression in the United States that went from 1893 to 1897.
Huh.
What a great name, though. I'm sorry. It was a terrible situation, but the panic of a certain time, that's wild. Like, I just, the naming game of this place is pretty on point for my standards. You name it after a different, you know, place. It gets named by the post office for something not even in the area. And then you go through something called the Panic of 1893. That's fire. That's so good.
I think it's funny because the Panic of 1893 makes it sound like there was no depression from 1893 to 1897. It was just a speculated depression.
Yeah, like, it was just like...
Any minute now, guys. Any minute, everything's going to fall apart.
I mean, I feel like we should rename... The Great Depression's a good one. I like that. That's fine. It's a little confusing because of mental health reasons, but the Great Recession, like, that's, you're just calling it what it is, and you're saying it's pretty good. Let's call it something else.
There's a era in history, I forgot which century it is, but I think it's like 1650 to 1750, but it was called the General Calamity.
Nice.
And it was just like every single nation on earth was going through some shit. So it was just like everything was a mess for everybody for like 100 years.
Yeah, it was great naming. Great naming. Like, I was thinking about it the other day. We had like the Enlightenment period and the Renaissance. We're going to be literally called the Digital Age. Like, that sounds so technical. It sounds like we kind of earned that name, you know?
I've heard in Civilization VI, this is the Information Era.
Information Era. Okay, I can kind of get behind that, but still, Information Era versus like the Renaissance.
The Atomic Era, the Modern Age.
Modern Age, okay, I can get behind that.
We should definitely give this a cooler name. This should be like the Great Telecommunications Era, the great Connection, the iPhone Era, the Twitter time,
the Distraction Age.
The Distraction Age. The ADHD.
AD after AD. ADHD AD.
ADHD AD. Yep. There we go. All right. So I'm going to jump in here with another one. Yep. So Telluride sits in what's called a box canyon. So there's a box canyon is a canyon with three sides and one open side to the lower land. So it's like a little divot carved out of a mountainside. So there's steep forested mountains and cliffs that totally surround Telluride. And one of their main attractions here is called Bridal Veil Falls, which is situated at the canyon's head. So Bridal Veil Falls is a 365-foot tall waterfall. Very pretty, very cool. The falls were actually opened to ice climbers in 1990 for a bit before they became private property. And the falls were considered the most difficult waterfall ice climb in North America.
Hmm.
And there's a little building on top of the falls, if you look at pictures. But in 1891, Telluride's L.L. Nunn teamed up with George Westinghouse to build the Ames Hydroelectric Generating Plant, an AC power plant near Telluride. Let's see, hang on. The plant supplied power to the Gold King Mine 3.5 miles away. This was the first successful demonstration of long-distance transmission of industrial-grade alternating current power and used two 100-horsepower Westinghouse alternators, one working as a generator producing 3,000-volt, 133-hertz, single-phase AC, and the other uses an AC motor. This hydroelectric AC power plant predated the Westinghouse plant at Niagara Falls by 4 years. Nunn and his brother Paul built power plants in Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Montana, Mexico, and the Ontario power plant at Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
I love it when you talk dirty to me. Oh, man.
You love it when I talk electrical engineering to you.
Oh, yeah. Give me that. Give me that power, Maxim.
Yeah. So, this is like definitely monumental in terms of like electrical history, because this is this is what our lives run on today in AC power. This was all like Tesla's work, and these guys put it into practice and really made it happen. So like this thing was the precursor to the Niagara Falls power plant for the Canadians. Like this is like a big deal, like how they designed this and put this together. So it is very important.
Didn't this guy also end up getting a spot? Didn't he end up teaching at an Ivy League school there as well? He made it pretty, like he's well recognized within the community of power.
Westinghouse is a very, very famous name.
Yeah.
But I don't know too much about him.
Yeah, he was a G. Well, I have one more.
He was a G, G for generator.
I have one more history fact before potentially, at least I'll talk about the modern day a little bit.
Cool.
But in June 1889, Butch Cassidy, before becoming associated with his gang, the Wild Bunch, robbed the San Miguel Valley Bank in Telluride. This was his first major recorded crime. He exited the bank with $24,580, which and later became famous for bank robbing. Think about that. It's like the first home run that Babe Ruth hit. Right out of the
Amazing.
Park.
Yeehaw.
Butch Cassidy, which I love. That's a name right there. That's a good name. It just flows well, you know?
Yeah, it really does.
Butch,
it rolls off the tongue.
Cassidy. Man, what a name.
Really, really flies out of the barrel of the gun there.
Man, that was a singer. Right to the... Yeah, yeah. First ever. That's like... So, are you proud? It's like the McCoys, why am I blanking on the other name?
The Hatfield
and McCoys. Yeah, the Hatfield. It's like how that town was super proud of the Hatfield and McCoys being there. It's like, are they proud that they were robbed a while ago? Is that a thing that their history is proud of now? I think what they're saying is if you're prominent enough as a bank robber, you will be looked upon favorably in history.
Yeah, I think, but I only think for this specific era. Like,
well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Yeah, right. I worked with a bank robber when I was washing dishes in college for a summer.
His name was The Mirror.
He went by the Shaggy Bandit. And this guy, basically, from his personality... Me and my buddy kind of figured out that he didn't want to rob these banks. He was just kind of like a really timid guy who wanted to be friends with people, kind of a pushover. And I think what happened was he robbed like 11 banks without a gun. He was like unarmed robberies, like just put the money in the bag type stuff. And he totally squealed on his buddies who like asked him to do it.
See, but, when you said Shaggy Bandit, I thought that's just because he went around with a dog that could talk.
Rut-row. Rut-row, Raggy. Security guards.
You got a modern-day fact. You got a history fact.
So, today, Telluride is often referred to as Colorado's best-kept secret, which is kind of ironic because it is not a secret at all. It's a very famous destination for like weekend getaways and like winter sports and general activities, but Telluride is full of recreation, so they have like mountain biking, climbing, hiking, kayaking, and of course the big one, skiing. So skiing at Telluride, it's a more expensive resort. It's like a really nice one, but like world-class skiing, very difficult terrain. People come from all over to ski there.
I do want to point out, this is how nice it is. It has a free gondola. A free gondola.
That's not uncommon.
I'm imagining, like, when I hear the word gondola, the next word that comes to mind, and just random word association, is Ricola. And that's a candy for
that is.
Old people, which makes me think there's history, there's weight But a gondola is different than a ski lift, right? This is going to the next town.
Yeah. Okay. So Telluride is next to a town called like, what is it? Mountains. Do you have it written down? I forgot to write it down.
Neighboring
it's like,
town. Mountains. Mountain Village. Which
yeah,
great
Mountain
name.
Village.
Oh, terrible name. Not gonna lie. Mountain Village.
I think it's like less than a mile away. It's like it's pretty close. It's just this gondola takes you like out of the canyon onto the lip of it where the ski resort kind of is. But I thought you were going with like when I hear gondola, I think of Italian men in boats who take you around. And
tonight,
in which case, a free gondola.
Yeah.
If it was a free gondola in that sense, I'd be very impressed. But
you're not impressed by a free gondola taking you up out of a box canyon and dropping you off somewhere else?
Not particularly. Ooh. I mean, that's just there's so many gondolas. I've been to so many ski resorts with so many gondolas that's just kind of like par for the course.
Look at me and all my gondolas. It's no big deal when I fly in the sky like a superhero. And then jet ski down a mountain. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big... For someone who's not terrified of skiing, just a bad skier, I'd just go for the free gondola. It's a big attraction.
It's fun. I have... this is the time of year where I start having dreams about skiing again. Like when fall starts approaching, I think my brain is always conditioned to be like, oh yeah, I remember skiing, and then I get hyped up for winter. And I had a ski dream last night, and the problem with my ski dreams is I'm a way better skier in my dreams than I am in real life. Like, I'm a really good skier, but in my dreams, I can actually like huck 360s and do flips and like hit rails and stuff. In real life, it's not that easy.
Just gotta
all about
keep
those
pushing.
Trees. Yeah, well, it's funny.
What is it
but,
too? So this town seems, since I've never been there, very beautiful because the Telluride Historic District is one of the 20 historic districts, or significant. What is it? What is it called? On the National Register, it's on the National Register of Historic Places, but is also one of Colorado's 20 National Historic Landmarks. So not only do you have the mountains, the snows, the gondola, but you also have historic landmarks. Like, not a historic landmark, but like a historic-looking downtown. Very well preserved.
Yeah, very, very similar to a lot of the places you'll find in the mountains. Like Georgetown, which we talked about, like, these are all places with nice little downtown strips with like buildings from like the 1850s, 1860s there. Obviously, this place is later, like 1870s, but yeah.
Yeah. I know we're getting close to the end. I just want to point out one thing very quick. I don't know if you want to get in another fact real quick, but
I have one more about summertime activities.
Go for it. It might be the same.
Okay. Telluride has a shitload of festivals.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm gonna read off a list of them. There's even more than what I have here. Telluride Comedy Festival, Telluride Gay Ski Week, Mountain Film Festival, Telluride Balloon Festival, Telluride Bluegrass Festival, Telluride Wine Festival, Telluride Yoga Festival, The Ride Festival, Telluride Film Festival, Telluride Fire Festival, Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, and Telluride Jazz Festival.
Oh, I got a few that you skipped over that I think are very much worth pointing out.
Okay, let's get a couple more in here.
We got the Telluride Mushroom Festival, which has been happening for over 30 years, and it's one to celebrate people who enjoy eating the fungus. I'm assuming there's probably some other psychedelic aspects to this event. I don't know exactly. They're probably not promoting that on their town website. However, I did see on the town website that people would dress up kind of like mushrooms or mushroom people. There's a car that went around. Just go to the Telluride website. Visit Telluride, I'm pretty sure. So that's one. It's been going on for 30 years. The other one is the Original Thinkers Festival. It's when intellectuals come together and just kind of have a retreat, but, you know, think originally. The other one is the annual Bravo auction and fundraiser, BRA capitalized VO. And it says, get wild for a good cause. And then the description goes on to read, gentlemen from Telluride's Fire and Police Department and Service Clubs will model the community's bra creations in both live and silent auctions to benefit the San Miguel Resource Center and Bosom Buddies, a breast cancer support group of Southwest Colorado. So just imagine these firefighters in bedazzled bras that are going to be auctioned off. And then finally, the last one, which should be very fitting for anyone whose understanding of Colorado's pop culture, High History, which is says, listen to Telluride's history told by some totally wasted fools.
That's nice. Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Those are very on par with Colorado vibes.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if the listeners know this, but one of our state songs is Rocky Mountain High by John Denver. And it's literally just about sitting around a campfire with your friends and smoking weed.
Yeah, they got a ton of festivals, though.
Yeah, the film festival is very big, and same with the Mountain Film Festival. One of my old roommate, Scott, would go to the Mountain Film Festival every year. And all it is the films people have made of, like, action sports. So, like, skiing, climbing, kayaking, backcountry, like, all these movies and independent films that people put together. Really cool stuff. But
yeah,
the Mushroom Festival is definitely a psychedelic event based on the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to assume that, but it kind of, there's got to be a part of it.
Yeah. The kombucha mushroom people sitting around all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the System of a Down lyric. I don't know if you ever listened to that song.
No.
Okay. All right. Ad break. What's your ad for today?
Let there be light. Did something happen in your bedrooms? Well, if not, get a light switch that works better.
Or a clapper.
Clap on.
Okay, today I'm sponsored by time management and an apology. I'm sorry for we're recording this late or early in the morning, so I'm a little out of it. And we will manage our time better in the coming episodes. And also my setup is pretty janky because I just moved in, so I'm trying to talk quiet so I don't echo everywhere.
It's all good. I mean, this week was just busy as well. I'm in the throes of moving. And I've just been like, instead of just unpacking, I'm organizing everything. So it's been such a slow process, but a good one.
I feel that.
So
I got a lot of stuff to take care of. I've been doing a lot of stuff for work where I actually have to leave the house. So two out of the 5 days this week, I had to go to Harlem and then the Bronx by train. So an hour long train ride, do stuff at these sites for like 4 or 5 hours, and then do an hour-long train ride back, and then
damn,
it just doesn't stop.
Damn. Well, I got something to raise your spirits.
Oh, boy.
You want to intro
it? Is it time for our famous, freshly located Goblin Gallery, now coming to you from Providence, Rhode Island, and a place that is 10 minutes from the last place I was, on foot. Once again, all submissions will be kept in the basement of Fort Knox to decide our currency value. So please stick around and find out if our economy will collapse.
Well, I got
our first contestant,
I got my Goblin Gallery submission today, and it is, I have a festival to submit, and it is called,
wow, I do too,
the Bummer Festival.
Bummer Festival.
A festival for Debbie and Danny Downers and sad frowners to commiserate in harmony. The thought of this festival is that everyone shows up in a dour spirit, whether sincere or insincere. Then people need to go around writing limericks, and in their best dour expression, try to make other people break their frown and turn it upside down. So it's kind of like the best part of SNL, but in real life. So here's my limerick, And if anyone, for anyone who doesn't know, a limerick is an AABBA poem that sometimes is a little crude, but not always. So now, to put you in the mindset, have a dour expression on your face. Have that frown on your face. Pretend you are at the Bummer Festival. And listen to my limerick. Festival schmestival. What about the resticle? Why do I eat oranges? Is it the zesticle? So long, my frown, it touches the ground, much indeed like my testicles.
I don't know
if you cut out or not.
I heard that. I heard the whole thing. Is that the end, though?
That's, yeah, A-A-B-B-A. But I have a second one. In case.
Well, that first one was good. Definitely turned my frown upside down.
Yeah, just imagine you have to pretend to have a frown. Well, here's the second one. Why did I need to mention anatomy? Since it's banned by the Academy. You think it's rude? I don't mean to be crude. Please, Maxim, just don't be mad at me.
Hey, that's good. That's a good one. Put that in a picture, put it up on your Instagram. There's just a quick note. This podcast in no way endorses poetry as a hobby. Just kidding. One half of this podcast does not endorse poetry. No. That's great. You should put those on a picture and put it on our Instagram so people can read your limerick.
Limerick. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to... When I heard the Bummer Festival, I thought you meant... You want to get people who are in a good mood, and you want to put them into a bad mood with limericks.
You just want to tear them down as human beings?
Yeah, I'm like, so
why don't you just call it the Cruel and Unusual Punishment Festival?
Right. I would just call it the Open Mic Festival.
Oh, the dunch.
You know, for as comedy is about laughter and fun, but there is nothing more miserable than some open mics. And now they're not miserable because it's all outdoor and good vibes. But before, there were some very grim basements.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it's time for... Oh, yeah. It's time for my Goblin Gallery submission. So... This is the ultimate festival pitch.
Is it an ultimate ladies frisbee one? Is that?
No. No, here we go. It's ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Today I present to you an opportunity of a lifetime. The beautiful town of Telluride has many incredible festivals in its roster, but I believe that we can really step up our game. Today, I am pleased to introduce the plans for the first annual Telluride Flaming Jazz Yoga Balloon Festival. Participants will pay top dollar to attend this three-day festival that is like none other. Ticket holders will be paired up in hot air balloons and provided with flaming yoga mats. Upon the arrival of the first freeform jazz band, yogis will begin their teaching. We feel that the flaming yoga mats, hot air balloons, and jazz will make for the meditative experience of a lifetime. And the whole thing will be shot.
Basically created a death trap, plus all the words that these festivals seem to be centered around.
Yeah, and the whole thing will be captured on 35mm film to be presented later at the film festival.
So it's this giant yogi inner peace thing for the for profit. You're exploiting the inner peace of people for film, for the Academy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Isn't that just life, though? Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Where we all have these pure ideas, whether you're burning people doing yoga or up in the sky, a balloon, such pure ideas. That once someone captures it, wants to capture it on film and show it to the rest of the world for money, what is the point anymore? What is the point?
There is no point, my friends. There is no point.
I moved on from it because we're in the ADAD era, so.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Sorry, I just got a text.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what we got for today, folks. Thank you for tuning in. I apologize for this tardiness, this unusual episode. But we love you all. Thank you for listening. Follow us at ST Radio Pod on Instagram. Hit us up with your town suggestions or Goblin Gallery submissions at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at MaximofAllen. And follow me on Flickr as well if you want to check out some nice photos I take.
You can follow me at Connor_Kvyeching. You're not going to be able to spell that. So go to our Instagram page and find my information there. And stay tuned for other stuff. Now that I'm settled, hopefully, fingers crossed. Oh, if you're listening and want to book a curbside comedy show, which is a 3-act, 2 stand-up act, 1 Q&A act show, hit me up. As long as you're in the Northeast, kind of, not Northeast, New England. That's kind of it.
Hit them up, folks.
Yeah.
Hit them up. You'll go as far as where?
I mean,
Minnesota?
As long as I can get there on feet. No, kind of New England. Depends on how different states are doing. So,
would you go to South Jersey?
I mean, I don't think I would go into New York. I would, you know?
New York State is right there.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if I go to South Jersey to perform, I might as well have stayed in New York, you know?
True.
So there's possible. It's possibilities. I don't know what that is.
That is the bare necessities, but with the wrong
bare
word.
Bare necessities, the simple possibilities. Possibility. I don't know. Sounds like.
Or is it. Responsibility, it's taking care of you and me. I think that's from Barney.
Hey, love
deep
the
childhood memories.
Dinosaurs.
Deep childhood memories on this show. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you for listening. We will record another episode in one day.
Yeah.
And we will get it out to you guys next week. So,
all right.
We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.